Hallelujah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Pastor.
And good morning.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Rosie and I were on the way in this morning, and you know, we were just marveling. I got to tell you that, and this happens periodically, you get used to doing church and having church and being in church, you know, and it's just kind of a normal thing, right? For those of us that love the Lord and have a, and I want to call this a real relationship with the Lord, not some just obligation or something that we just do because, or whatever. But it, you know what, it's got to be real, right? It's got to be real. And one of the things that just, it overwhelms me sometimes. This is what we were talking about. Our church is different. It always has been from the very beginning. And when I say different, I mean different in a good way, not different in like we're whacked. But different in a good way. And what I see, what Rosie and I see with those who consider this their home, everybody that comes through that door, by all of you, gets valued and respected. This is Christianity. I mean, this is the real stuff.
Yeah, yeah, amen.
And that's you. It is you. And we are overwhelmed by who Jesus is in you. What a blessing you all are. And I want to say thank you for your hearts. Praise God. You're a blessing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of people get wrapped up in the new year. It feels like a new start. Hey, it's kind of like a reset for life. And, you know, really, it's just another day because we're continuing on and continuing on and continuing on and how we live this out, how we live this life, this in Jesus life, this new creation life, this life that is, man, it's different than it's ever been. And it's vibrant, and it's full. And you're going, well, not maybe, kind of, so, sort of. No, it really is. The more you understand who you are in Him, the more you understand your new identity, the more full, the more vibrant, the more real, the more supernatural, the more wonderful, the more joyful, and the more restful this life gets. Now, this is the real deal. This is what it's like to walk with Jesus. This is what He wants us to have. And so, the new year isn't really a reset, but it's, okay, this is another day that I can go, and in this new year, I can live out fully who I am in Him. And really who He is in me. This is how grace takes place. This is how the ability of God works through us, in us and through us, to live this life, this eternal life, fully and really realize back to us what not only what He's done, but what He's given. I mean, what He's accomplished, what's been finished, that we don't strive to get. We're not trying to make this happen. If you've come out of religion, all of us to some extent have, religion is just obligatory, have to keep the rules and you'll be good enough, and on like this. When you come out of religion and you realize that Jesus has done everything that needs to be done for us, and it is up to us to be able to just receive what He's done, take a hold of it and begin to live it out, everything changes. I mean, this is the game changer for everybody. This is what makes this life a vibrant, exciting, incredible life. Now, I didn't understand that until I understood grace. I'm still growing in grace. I went to Charis Bible College, Colorado. Taught there. And you know, I'm still growing in grace. Because it just gets bigger and better the more you go on, the more you understand who you are in Jesus and who He is in you and what He's done. That's what makes it real. That's what makes really every day a New Year's Day. No kidding. Back to the series. A couple of weeks ago, I started a series called God Always Provides. Now, we can mentally assent to this. We can mentally agree, and it becomes part of the information package that we get. You know, everybody gets an info packet, right? When you start a new job, or you go to a new school, or you go into a business, or you come to a new church, you get an info packet. And a lot of times, this is the way we look at the Word. Okay, here's my information packet. And it goes into our head, into our mind, into this computer, and we try to make it work that way. But we don't really believe in our heart what it says. This is where the rubber meets the road for most of us. And this, I want to talk about just real life today about Christianity and living this eternal life now and understanding that it is imperative that we get past the information booklet, the information that comes to us, and get into our hearts that God always provides. Always. No matter what the circumstances or the situation, no matter what it is. And there's as many of us as are here, there are that many situations multiplied times 100. God always provides. This is not just information. When it reaches your heart, you begin to experience the changes. It is the experiential part, the part that goes past the information gathering, where this really happens. So the point of teaching and the point of getting this download of what grace is about, this grace message, into us is to get our hearts changed so that we really can accept and experience. It becomes experiential to us. This message of God's grace. The message of His unconditional love. How faith works. So, we're going to do this again today. And we're going to say this together. And I'll tell you the reason why when we're through with this. But I'm going to make a statement, and I'd like you to say it with me. And it goes like this. God always provides
for me.
I'll say it again like you mean it. God always provides for me. Now say this one. God always cares for me. God always cares for me. Now say this one. God always loves me. God always loves me. And we're going to finish it with God always provides for me. God always provides for me. No matter what. Cool. You got it. Now this is not based on us. This is based on Him. You see, we want to turn this around all the time. We say, well, it's what I have to do, or it's based on me, or it's a part of what the expectation is. I mean, no. It's based on Him. Last week we covered, you know, the message title was about fear. Really, that was it. Fear. Because fear paralyzes. When it comes to stepping into I mean, really, the experiential part of God providing for us. In every situation, all the time. Where it becomes so normal. Just normal life. That when we think about something that I don't care what it is, the situation, it could be a severe emotional trauma, it could be a loss of some type, either relationally, or it could be a job, or it could be finances, or it could be a health issue, or it could be a multitude of things, but where the normal thing that you think and experience is God always provides for you. That it's normal. Okay? Fear paralyzes that aspect. So we needed to talk about that. We needed to teach on this. We needed to really examine the reality of why fear keeps us from, it's like putting up a stop sign and saying, no! I don't want you to provide for me, Lord. You can't! You're not big enough. Or I don't really think you're reliable. I see it for everybody else, but I don't see it for me. We have to tackle these things. Because the Lord, once you begin to live this out again and it becomes experiential, you'll never go back to that fear stuff and be afraid of Him. So we're going to go on with this today. The title of this message today, and I doubt very much I'm going to get through with this, because this all ties in together. Everything that when we talk about these things and we teach on these things, it all ties in. It all connects. You know those, remember the connect the dots things? This is connecting the dots to understand and begin to experience what grace, God by grace, has done. Has done. Past tense. Today's title is called Afraid to Trust. Afraid to Trust. Now, in the Greek, in the understanding of God providing, this is what it means. God looks ahead and furnishes in advance. That's it. He looks ahead and furnishes in advance. When we got born again, Jesus said, you know what, you got to be born again. That's the qualifier for this. That's it. It's not some complex issue or some hoop we have to jump through or some educational milestone, or this is for anybody. No matter what the condition of your life is, you have to be born again. And when we say, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior, please, can't do it myself, then what we've done is we've entered into an agreement with God. We've entered into what we call a covenant, a contract, a contractual agreement, and said, okay, I am now your responsibility. Amen. Hallelujah. I hadn't done so hot on my own. So now I am your responsibility, and I'm really happy about it because you're well able. And yet, when we do this, this is what happens. We're great when it's in our heads and we're not experiencing any troubles. It's awesome. And then what happens is we hit a roadblock. Oh, gosh. And the first thing is, and I don't know about the rest of you, but this is what I used to do. What am I going to do? Did you hear that statement?
Yeah.
What am I going to do? And I have just taken responsibility, God's responsibility for me. And I've taken it and I said, you are not big enough, not mighty enough, not strong enough, not equipped enough. I will take it from here because I've got to do this. Because, and this is underlying, and I'm using myself as an example. I'm afraid to trust you. And what I'm saying is I'm more confident in me than I am in you. Now, we all deal with this. And if you don't deal with it, well, then you should get up here and teach. Okay? Really? Because you got it. We all deal with this. And if you haven't, you will. You will face it. When trials come, the very first thing that most of us think is panic. First thing, panic. That's fear-based. Panic says, I don't know what I'm going to do, and I don't know that I can trust you, Lord. That this is real, okay? I don't know that I can trust you. I'm afraid to trust you. Really. For various reasons. That's what I hope to get past today. When I was younger, and I lived in Washington State. Washington State has a lot of water, a lot of the ocean is there. I took scuba diving lessons. And when I was diving, they just pummeled it into us. Pummeled it in all the training that we had. And it was, if you have a problem or you run into a situation underwater, remember this. I've never forgotten this. Don't panic and don't hold your breath. Don't panic and don't hold your breath because it'll kill you. Panic will kill you and holding your breath will kill you. And I ran into a situation while I was diving one time and it freaked me out. But I remembered my training because it got in my heart. Don't panic. Don't panic and don't hold your breath. And I remembered my training and I came out of the situation. And of course I lived. Okay? Now the same thing happened because I used to work for a chemical manufacturing company in Las Vegas. And in that time, you know, in chemical manufacturing, we all have to wear at times, this was before I was in supervision, we all have to wear at times the same thing that the firemen wear. They wear this great big air pack on their backs and the chemical mask and all this stuff. When you're dealing with dangerous chemicals, and we had super dangerous chemicals. One breath would kill you. And we were working on a train car one time, the locomotive. And it was full of a dangerous gas, a very super dangerous gas. And a line broke. Now those tank cars, train cars, are under super high pressure. And when it broke, there was another gentleman and I up there with these called air packs on. And when it happened, one whiff of this gas could kill you, literally. I could smell it coming in through my mask. There was a leak someplace. And the first thing I heard was, don't panic. Don't panic. Don't panic. And I was a Christian at that time, fairly new, and I heard the Lord tell me what to do from there. And of course, I didn't die. My training went into my heart. And my training became my experience. It became experiential. Now this is what the Lord wants for us when it comes to Him providing. He wants what He teaches us, what His Word says about Him providing in every situation. And this can't be overstated. In every situation. He wants it to become experiential, not just information, but experiential. In order to do that, it has to get into the heart. Okay? So that's how this works. All of us hit a point when we're afraid to trust. And the reason we're afraid to trust is because at some point in our lives, our trust has been broken. Now, this first started, let's say this first, at birth, We're born into a world, we're born into sin, we didn't do anything wrong, but this is all Adam and Eve's fault. Okay? In reality, any of us being back in the garden would have done the same thing. Let me say it this way. In this world, we learn not to trust. And we learn not to trust because, have you ever had anybody lie to you? Trust has been broken. Have you ever lost a relationship? Trust has been broken. You ever had anybody maybe take advantage of you? Trust has been broken. You ever had issues come in your life dealing with people and it doesn't turn out the way that it was supposed to? Trust has been broken. So we learn this. And then what we do is we apply the same degree or the same lack of trust that we've learned in this world. We take it over as a new creation and we say, God, I'm afraid to trust people and I'm afraid to trust you. But you see, God isn't people. This fear of trusting, this inclination to panic when we face situations comes from the root of fear. And again, it started in the garden. It started in Genesis 3 with Adam and Eve. And it has been come through mankind since then, this propensity to be afraid, to trust. 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, 1 John 4:18. That's 1 John 4:18. I shared this last week, and I want to do this again because this needs to be, you know, there comes a time when all of a sudden the light bulb flicks on and something becomes a revelation to us. The revelation in the Greek means that the pages get peeled back or the covering gets taken off and oh my gosh, you know. It becomes real to us and then it begins to enter the heart where we believe. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Now John is speaking about the Lord to us in this relationship. There is no fear, no reason to fear, no rational reason to fear in love. When you understand love, when love is what you face or what has come to you. But perfect love, or in the Greek, complete love. This is a love without the absence of anything. It's not a self-centered or all about self kind of love. This is a love that is absolutely toward and for you and me. This perfect and complete love, perfect love, cast out fear, because fear involves torment, doesn't it? In reality, if you're afraid to trust the Lord to provide, that's tormenting, isn't it? Because then it puts the onus of everything back on us to provide for ourselves. But he who fears or who is afraid, and let me say that like this, he who is afraid or fears to trust God has not been made complete in the knowledge and the understanding. And here's where it gets the experiential part, the accepting of his love. You see, his love has to be accepted in our hearts. This perfect love, this is where this has to happen. In our hearts, And we talk about it being mind, will, and emotions. It's more than that. The explanation is more. I shared a little bit of this last week. Our mind, it is the way we think. It is how we think. It is our thinking process, this love, and the understanding of this love in our minds. This is where the information comes in. This love that is unconditional, and it is always, it is never ending, it is for, completely, for you. This love that says you are accepted and you are valued and you are cared for and cared about all the time. It is overwhelming, and it's in our knowledge and in our thinking, and it becomes a very cognizant part of how we think. And then in our emotions, our feelings. Our emotions are up and down, and they're a burst of energy, really, up or down a lot of times. But our feelings, and they're different, they're separate from our emotions. Our feelings are like our passions and our desires. When I feel in my heart that I'm loved, not the emotional, oh, I'm loved, which is, you know, it's enhancing and it's great and it's wonderful, but it isn't all the time. But when we feel that we're loved by God, we just feel it, you know. It is a part of what we, here's where the clincher is, what we accept. Now, the reason we don't feel loved, I'm not talking about the emotions, but the reason we don't feel loved a lot of times is because we haven't accepted that love. We've resisted it. And the last part is where we make our decisions. This is all part of our heart, okay? Where we make our decisions, our choices. You know, God is pro-choice. You all know that? I'm not talking about abortion rights. I'm talking about the will of God for us to make choices, to make decisions. He's given us free will. We're not puppets on a string. And we consciously choose to accept His love. We choose it, or we don't choose it. We make choices in this matter. It is our will. This is all a part of our heart, and when this all comes together in these areas, our heart has accepted His love, and the experiential part of this walk with God and being able to trust Him begins. This is where it happens. There is no fear in love. But you see, this is based on us. This is a given by God. But the acceptance is based on us. But perfect love, so that we understand this, casts out fear. It casts out the fear of trusting Him to provide. Because fear involves torment, and he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Do you know that there is no trust where there is fear? When we're afraid to trust God, who's taken responsibility on for us, when we're afraid to trust Him to provide, there is fear. Almost every time. God will never break your trust, ever. Because He loves you. He can't not love you, because He is love. Now listen, the devil is all about hate and theft and destruction. We know this. We've experienced some of this in our lives, all of us. God can't do that. It's impossible for Him to do this. Titus 1:2 says, it's impossible for God to lie, to deceive, to destroy, to bring destruction, not to keep His word. It's impossible for Him to do. It's impossible for Him to fail you. It's impossible for Him not to provide. It's impossible. He'd have to break His word. He'd have to go against who he is in love. He'd have to. If this gets ingrained in you, there is no fear of God providing when you understand and accept his love. Perfect love casts out fear every time. Fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made complete in understanding, knowing, and accepting God's love for them. Because in all of this, when you get it, you see him provide. We learned fear through the world, and we learned fear through religion. We learned it both ways. Most of us that have been born again or walking with the Lord for any length of time. I want so much to go into the rest of this. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 17? And while you're turning there, let me say this. We want to jump into faith and see all the promises of God just take place in our life right now. All of us do. And sometimes there's some instance, I mean right now things. And sometimes there's not. It's okay. God always provides. We get caught up in the instant. Listen, I love instant. We see instant miracles, instant healings, instant breakthroughs, instant changes in lives, instant changes in hearts. We see this all the time here by teaching grace. But you know what? It doesn't always happen instantly. Is it already given? Has God already looked ahead and provided in advance? Everything for you. Every answer, every remedy, every healing, every bit of financial need, every bit of relationship need, everything. We can't always accept it right away. There's a lot of factors that go into this. So we want to jump into faith right away as soon as we find out that grace has already supplied this and God's providing is already there. So, well, just believe. You can't jump in to faith without first trusting. You think faith and trusting God to provide are the same thing. They connect together, but they're separate. They work together, but they're separate. In order to be in faith, for faith to take place, we have to begin with trust. Trust without fear comes through a relationship. And a relationship comes from understanding and accepting his love. This is how all this works. When you understand this perfect love through relationship, then trust is built. As trust builds, faith begins to make a stand, and things change all the time. Again, this is the experiential part of how this all works. Go to Matthew chapter 17, or did I already say that? Did I? Really? Where was I? Matthew 17, I'm going to start with verse 24, because I want to use this for an example, but let me say this. If you You know, the epistles, the letters that Paul and Peter and James and they all wrote to the church are awesome. And they are the revelation of the truth, of the reality of the grace of God to us. It's the breakdown, really, of it. And the application of the grace of God. But if you want to see how this works, you want to see God's heart, because this is really what we want to connect with, right? Because this is where trust gets built, in Him providing. If you want to see God's heart, read the Gospels. Read the Gospels. Read about Jesus. The image of God on this earth. The heart of God, the Father, on this earth. For us. Not just then, but for time, forever. Matthew 17. Verse 24. When they, Jesus and His disciples, had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" So here they come to town, Jesus and His disciples, they came to town, and right away, I mean, step past the road sign. Welcome to Capernaum. And they're on Him about the temple tax. Can you believe it? The temple tax. Now, this was a little bit of an attack, just so you understand the background of it. Trying to stir up some problems. Temple tax was all about they taxed people by the person to support the repairs in the temple in Jerusalem. Okay? That's how that worked. And so they said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" Verse 25, and Peter says, "Well, yeah." And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, looking ahead, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers?" This is a good point. And Peter said to him, "From strangers." And Jesus said to him, "Well, then the sons are free." He's already differentiating those who walk with the Lord, different kingdoms, and those who do not. Those who are the Father's kids and those who are not. And then he says in verse 27, "Nevertheless, even though you're free from this temple tax, lest we offend them or be a stumbling block to them, go into the sea and cast in a hook and take the fish that comes up first." Now I can imagine what's going through Peter's mind. I'd be bug-eyed. "And when you've opened its mouth, you'll find a piece of money, the exact amount. Take and give that to them for me and you." Jesus separated Peter and his disciples from the other kingdom, the kingdom of the world. And he said, "I'm going to look ahead, Peter, and I'm going to provide. And it's going to be in a different kind of way. It's not going to be in the way that you expect. And it's not going to be in the way that you think it should be. And it's not going to be in the way that is normal. And it's not going to be in any other way. But I am going to provide for you." That's all. Let's not make a big deal about it. So go catch a fish with a coin in its mouth. How weird is that? God is showing Peter that He is able to provide no matter what the situation is or where it is or when it is or how it comes up. God always provides. When we get in the way of God providing, Peter could have gone and caught some fish and sold them and probably made enough money to do that. He said, no. I am responsible for you. Go do this at my direction, and here's the money.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Peter got it. We don't always get it like this. Because panic comes in, we're afraid to trust. And we say, what am I going to do? And then we meddle. Don't we? We get to meddling with God's responsibility and take it on as our own. Stop meddling. We really have to decide to do that too. Isaiah chapter 12 verse 2. Isaiah chapter 12 verse 2. Isaiah says, behold, or listen, loud and clear. God is my salvation. God is, not me. I will trust, here's the statement, I will trust and not be afraid. This was his decision. And it was his experience, because this is from his heart. He says, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Now in the Hebrew, salvation in this respect, this is what Isaiah was saying. He says, Lord, you have become my prosperity, my welfare, my caretaker, my deliverance, and my victory.
Hallelujah.
Now he lived like this. Trust, the definition of trust, when you break it down, I'm going to combine Old and New Testament, is confidence, security, and safety in God, and being bold in it. Confidence, security, and safety in God, in this trust that we have in Him, and being bold in it. That's what Isaiah said. Bold. Next week, I've got a testimony. We had lots of testimonies in this church. I had a testimony I've asked specifically for from Suzanne. And I would like to have her share if we can. But bold, confident, and secure in how God provided. Huge thing. And yet it's, you know, this is just little stuff to the Lord. It really is, because He has taken responsibility for her, for all of us. It'll bless you when you hear this. Blow your mind too, I think. The reason God does this for us, the reason He has taken it on Himself to provide for us, is because we are all His sons and daughters. All of us. Nobody's left out. We are all joint heirs or co-heirs with Jesus in the inheritance that He has. And as the Father provided for Jesus, He provides for us. He wants it to be experiential. Continually. This is all Romans 8, chapter 15, chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. You see, we come into the kingdom. I'm a son, I'm a daughter. Rah, rah, rah. I'm new, yeah, great. And this is where the information part again happens in our thinking. It's just information. It hasn't become a part of our full heart. Because we don't look at ourselves really or believe really that we are sons and daughters of God. We are really, and this is where we most consider ourselves, we're illegitimate. You understand what I'm saying? We don't look at ourselves as real sons and daughters. We look at ourselves as illegitimate kids. We are true, real, all the way, sons and daughters of the Father. And as He provided for Jesus, He provides for us if we will let Him, and not be afraid to trust. God builds our trust in Him. Step by step. As that trust gets built, fear leaves, faith comes in, and things move. God never wants us to be afraid of Him providing for us. He wants us to know that He is absolutely trustworthy without fear. Romans 8, verses 31 and 32. I'll close with this. I have one more thing. Romans 8, verses 31 and 32. Paul says, "What shall we say to these things?" He's speaking about all that the Lord has done in this chapter and the past few chapters in Romans. It's incredible. "What shall we say to these things? Since knowing and being assured God is for us." Do you really know that?
Yes.
Or is it just information? Has it become experiential? Do we know it in our whole heart? Because this is what we have to decide. "Since God is for us, who can be against us?" When it comes to Him providing. "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Jesus freely give us all things?" Man, blows me away. He wants that to be the experiential part of our life. Knowing that He always provides. Always. How do you stop being afraid to trust? Please give me a couple of extra minutes on this.
Amen.
How do you do it? How do you stop being afraid to trust? If you are in a relationship with the Lord. You know, I like on Facebook how people say, "Oh, I'm in a relationship. Oh, I'm not in a relationship anymore." Can we just consider ourselves in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Normally. Forever. Put it on Facebook. All right. How to stop being afraid to trust. Number one. You've got to admit that you're afraid to trust Him. Man, I've said it to Him. God, I've hit some stuff. God, I'm afraid to trust You. I can see what my hands can do, and usually it messes up. But I'm afraid to trust You. Admit it. There's no shame in admitting it. It's real. It's human. None of us have arrived. Okay? You have to admit it. Number two. This is where it gets the application. You have to make a conscious decision in your heart. I'm talking about the way you think and your feelings and your choice. Remember, God's pro-choice. Make the decision. To trust Him. Simple, isn't it? But it is a decision that we make. We make thousands of decisions all day long. This has to be a primary one. Next, I'm going to do three things here. Break the judgments that you've made. Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2. Break the judgments that you've made. A judgment is a decision that we make in our hearts that says, this is the way it is. And I have made a decision like this. And we revolve our life and our future and all really what God's promised us by grace all around that decision. And boy, there's so many times that we make the wrong decisions, these judgments. Here they are. These are the kind of judgments that we make. Break these judgments. I'll show you how to do it in just a second. Break the judgment that says, I can't trust You, Lord. I can't trust You with this. It's too big. It's too complex. It's too hard. I know you provided in a fish's mouth what they needed, okay? The coin. But I don't know about this. Break the judgment you cannot trust. Break the judgment that he doesn't care about you. We covered that last week. Because he cares incredibly. And break the judgment that he won't provide. Those three things. When you break a judgment, this is something that you've done in your heart, when you've decided something, when you break it, you have to let this, it's important that you let this come out of your mouth so that your ears can hear it, so your heart can be persuaded. It starts changing your heart. That's why we say the things in the beginning. God always provides for me, because your heart is being persuaded differently than the way it probably was. You break these judgments by saying out loud, in the name and the authority, this is all the authority wrapped up, in the name of Jesus, I reject or renounce these judgments I have made. And say what they are. I reject the judgment I made that I couldn't trust you. I reject the judgment that I made that you don't care about me. I reject the judgment that I made that you won't provide for me. I reject it. That's how you break those. Guess what? Your life will begin to change. Those judgments keep you trapped and really hinder God from providing. Last two, easy. Don't dictate to the Lord how to provide for you. Don't tell him how to do it. Don't tell him how to do it. Lastly, don't tell him when to do it. Don't tell him when. We used to call him Jehovah Nick of Time. Because it was always right on the edge, the nick of time. Guess what? God always provided. Always. Okay? That's it. Would you stand with me? I want to call a power team up here. That's the way I consider our prayer team. They are the power team. Because when they pray, they release the power of God. And that's why we see miracles. That's why we see healings. That's why we see transformations. That's why we see all the kind of things that really that God's provided, promised by His grace. Power team, come on up. Are you expecting some miracles today? Because I sure do. Probably already had them. Is there anybody that needs some money in a fish mouth? You know what I mean? Anybody need a... Michael, get up here. Come on. This is not an issue. It really is not. God wants it to be experienced. Okay? Anybody else? If you got any needs? Come on. Because God always provides for you. Always. Always. Anybody else? Come on. Johnny, come on up and pray, please. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Anybody in doubt about God providing? Anybody still afraid to trust? You can be. You're going to have to try this out. Why don't you try it on for size? Because He doesn't want you to be afraid. Is there anything else? I keep feeling like, I don't want to drag this on, but I just keep feeling like there's about a half a dozen of you right now today that are still afraid to trust God in a particular area. Can we just get it dealt with? Can you just let Him show off in your life? You want it? Anybody? Raise your hand. Please come up. Please come up. Please come up. Let Him show off for you. Because He loves you so much. Need more of the power team up here. Thank you, Lonnie. James, thank you. Joanne, thank you. Anybody else? I like to get things done. If you don't know that about me, I mean, I really do. I like to get things done. I hate when things just hang on, because it doesn't have to. All right, if you change your mind, we're going to pray. Come on up here. They'll be here. Lord, I mean, Lord, Father, thank you for being such a good dad. Thank you, Jesus. You are our supply, our provision. You've provided everything. We want to be never afraid to trust you again for anything. Would you get this reinforced, Lord, in our hearts, so that we can begin to experience the greater abundance, the greater provision in our lives, in every area, in Jesus' name. Amen. You all are blessed, and you're a blessing. Have an awesome week. You are provided for.